My place in tech changes every day, but I don't fear the future because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself. At Pluralsight, we don't just teach skills. We are building the tech workforce who deliver results fast, accelerated by top-tier content. Lead with confidence. Lead with expertise. Visit us at Pluralsight.com to tap in and learn more.
Hannah Murray on TRE in the afternoon.
My next guest, Daniel Gray, writer, broadcaster and podcaster, whose latest book, Sunday Best, is an evocative celebration of the seventh day in all its rich variety. He looks at how Sunday habits differ across the UK, the trials of travelling on a Sunday, and how football might shape how we spend and celebrate the seventh day. Welcome to the show, Daniel.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thanks for joining us. And what a lovely idea for a book. What made you look into the history of Sundays?
Yeah, well, like so many things, the idea came to me in lockdown and all those hours of boredom that some of us had. And people kept saying, oh, every day is like Sunday. And it made me realise that Sundays are the one day that still have an identity, certainly in the UK, that's so different to the rest, even though they've changed a lot over time. And it made me wonder, you know, how have Sundays changed over the years? And have we forgotten how to do Sundays, really? And should we try to recapture any of them? And there's also an element of nostalgia to it. So because when I think back to sort of my teenage years, happy Sundays, playing football in the morning, and then my grandma's for a brilliant roast dinner, best Yorkshire puddings in the world, and then watching football with my granddad on the telly. So nostalgia mixed with circumstance and just thinking about how they've changed over the years, and not forgetting as well that some people still don't like Sundays, and not forgetting the sheer boredom that it could mean at times as well with everything being closed.
Yeah. And, you know, even the title Sunday Best makes me think about, you know, people getting dressed up to go to church on a Sunday, which of course some people still would do, but I guess you see it less in the UK. I think we see it more in Spain, in a Catholic country.
Yeah, and really interesting looking back at the so-called Continental Sunday, which, you know, in Spain and France and all the rest, that was a big fear of the establishment in Britain in the 19th century, that we'd adopt the decadent ways of the Continentals enjoying themselves more on a Sunday. But yeah, I think probably swapped around a bit more now, and it is generally quieter in Spain, I would say, on a Sunday than it is back in the UK now. But all those traditions, it was the first time I'd been in church for ages, and it was a wonderful morning. I went to an Easter service, and though I'm not a big church goer, it was nice to have that sense of community and seeing the sort of almost hidden Sundays that you aren't aware of anymore. And I did discover that a lot of the sort of totems of the traditional Sunday are still alive and well. You know, went to a very busy Sunday carvery, and the Sunday roast almost a hip thing for some people now. So yeah, the traditions are there, and I was able to find about a dozen different Sundays to travel around the UK and spend my time.
Yeah, it's funny how, as you say, the traditions that some people have on a Sunday that you wouldn't associate with any other day of the week. I mean, there are other days that people might go to church, but a Sunday roast, as you said, you know, totally associated with that day that people are very unlikely to think of doing on another day.
Absolutely right. And I think my sort of conclusion was, as well as trying to keep your own traditions alive, if you've enjoyed them and bring them back and things, was just to find your own Sunday again. So, you know, find some indulgence, but also some peace, just whatever. Make it a different day again, basically. Put that phone away and don't check tomorrow's work emails, because the incursion of Monday into Sunday has really, really been sped by technology. And, there's a chapter in the book about Sunday night television and the way those theme tunes like Last of the Summer Wine and Antiques Roadshow would give me the fear thinking about my maths homework that I'd forgotten before double maths in the morning. But at the same time, it was quite warm television. And I remember my sisters running upstairs to listen to the charts. And they were quite nice traditions. Whereas I look at British TV on a Sunday night now and it's wall-to-wall murder just about. So we've sort of lost that gentleness, I think. And it's a good thing if we can reclaim our own version of that.
Yeah. The Sunday newspaper, of course, or traditionally a lot bulkier than the rest of the week.
Yeah. And I'm one of the few people left that still buys one, but I absolutely relish my walk down to the newsagent on a Sunday morning. I work my way through the different sections throughout the week, in fact. And it is, I would say this is a writer, but it'd be good if people were able to embrace the Sunday newspapers again in that way, because it just gives a different feeling to looking on your phone like we are all week long, spreading those magazines and things out, and just that sense of almost luxuriating in it all. But yeah, those things, and there were, they're very, very ingrained. You know, I looked back at a lot of old Sunday legislation, Sunday law, going back well over 1,000 years. Some things we know about, like the outlawing of trading and moving around, all towards making people have no alternative to church almost. But some brilliant eccentric laws as well. Like I read in the 1700s that the leaping and vaulting were only to be allowed outside of church hours, as if people were bouncing around on Sundays and it was far too much fun. And all of these different, you know, there was a law for a while that said that woolen hats must be worn by men and boys on a Sunday, and that was to do with promoting the British woolen industry. And just some very eccentric laws have come out of this, and it's been brilliant to try and bring them back and get them into a book.
Yeah,
not bring the laws back, I should point out. Back the
absolutely.
That one'd be fun.
That's a great one. And you talk about how Sunday habits differ across the UK. What do you mean? Give us an example.
Yeah, well, I mean, one other inspiration for the book was working up in the Western Isles for a while, and I was up in Stornoway on a Sunday, and I'd read about it, but I hadn't really computed how so many people still keep the Sabbath there, which is absolutely to be respected, but it means that old quiet Sunday is very, very different to the sort of the busy countryside we now have, because thankfully a lot of people are trying to go out, and I would say the countryside is often more busy than the town these days on a Sunday. So those differences as you travel throughout Britain became quite obvious to me, really. And I think there's certainly something to be said for a sort of middle ground where you've got the options to do things and the pubs are open all day, but also you're respected if you decide it's going to be the peaceful day, the family day, or whatever your thing may be.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you think it's very much still a family day for a lot of people, even if it has nothing to do with church? I mean, with the Sunday roast, I suppose, is a great excuse or reason to have the family all together sitting around the dinner table.
I think so. And I was sort of surprised by how many people do try to preserve that, really. It's quite nice when you start to chat to people. They go, yeah, actually, I do see my nana on a Sunday still. And it's quite unthinking almost, which is fine. And I suppose there's a practical element because people are going to be in, aren't they, on the whole. So, but it's, yeah, that's definitely a word that came up a lot was spending it with family, loved ones, friends, you know, having a good, one of the Sundays I spent was it's a hard job, but someone has to do it. I'd spent an afternoon on a nice session in a pub in Newcastle, and and I just saw so many different groups of people come in and go, you know, young women in gangs together and old men out for the Sunday afternoon chat. And I thought it can be such a quietly sociable day. And I think we should try and keep its identity because of that.
Yeah. A lot of people, of course, don't necessarily enjoy a Sunday as they might do a Saturday so much, because it's that much closer to going back to work or going back to school. So in a lot of people's minds, Sunday's close to getting back to the daily grind.
Yeah, and I felt that. I felt that many times in my life when you've got a job that you dread. I'm forgetting here, and I'm not forgetting, but not mentioning that a lot of people work on a Sunday as well, of course. But yes, absolutely. And that was a sort of a conclusion I reached, was that, you know, it remains half of your weekend. And so it's worth spending well if you can, if you've got the freedom and opportunity to do so, I think, and try and push that fear in the back of your mind away for a bit and do something, make something of the day, really. It's easy to mope around. Even if that Sunday is just catching up on some DIY, another great tradition. In the book, I was trying to think of what the sound of Sunday is these days, and does it remain a lawnmower and things like that, and those kind of chores. And I think it does to an extent. And yes, it can be a day for useful chores, but you can find joy in that as well, I think.
Yeah, I know you're a big football fan, and that can obviously have a huge influence on Sundays.
Big time, yeah. And that's a fairly recent development, really. There was big opposition when they tried to play football during the 70s, during the blackouts and the three-day week and things. It was done for necessity, but still the church and other groups were particularly annoyed about that. And so it went away again until the 80s, and then you had a few matches, and now, of course, it's sometimes it's half the Premier League fixtures, and yes, so it's become a big footballing day, whereas it always was in Spain, of course, Sunday, and then Spain's moved over the whole weekend now, hasn't it? But it had its effect on football, and I loved researching some of the protests that went on with sort of hardline Christians turning up and telling footballers they were cursed if they played and things like that. I wonder if any of them took it on board. And really an interesting aspect of the game I hadn't considered until researching the book.
Yeah. And what were some of the other places that you visited and things that you experienced on a Sunday?
Well, I don't know if this remains a very British thing or if it's made its way to Spain yet, but I went to a car boot sale, of course.
Which,
they can happen on either day of the weekend, but it feels very, very Sunday-ish to me. And that was in lovely Northumbria. So that was a leisurely way to spend one. Up to Gloucestershire, to the home, to talk about Sunday schools and alternative Sunday schools, because there was a big socialist Sunday school movement as well. And then Speaker's Corner in London, because in the 1850s in London, they had these big Sunday riots when Karl Marx thought revolution was going to start. All about Sunday legislation. And my favourite things were probably, though, very traditional. One, the Peak District recreating the Kinder trespass when on a Sunday people were trying to win the right to go across all the land, and going to cricket in my native Yorkshire on a Sunday in Scarborough. Could anything be more perfect?
And what did you find out about travelling on a Sunday?
Oh, well, you've got to be patient, haven't you? And this is, you know, the rail replacement bus is everywhere on a Sunday, and never ending, and it feels like. But what I did discover was there's a general resignation among the travelling populace on a Sunday. They're just sort of, well, it's Sunday, isn't it? You've just got to allow a bit more time. And those words rail replacement coach became very, very familiar to me, I have to say. You just when you think you're getting somewhere. But it's almost like Sunday was playing a trick back on me for being interested in it, I think.
Yeah. And do you think a lot of people, if they've experienced traditional Sundays as a child with their families, do you think they're a lot more likely to carry on those traditions as they get older? Or do you think as people have their own families and their own lives, they sometimes forget the traditions or create new ones?
Well, my experience has been that you lose all nostalgia and remember the boredom in your 20s and just want to do something different. But I think when you start your own family, I certainly found that suddenly I was a man that wanted to make sure we all had a roast together on a Sunday and things. So I do think it comes back. That's I guess, how nostalgia works, isn't it? But I do think the habits of your youth, you look back a bit rose-tinted, perhaps, but they do come back to you and you do think, yeah, that wasn't such a bad thing, actually, because we were all together and things stopped for a while and then the heartbeat theme tune came on and we carried on.
It's true, isn't it? I think that happens with a lot of people to do with families. As you're growing up as a child, as a teenager, maybe not for everybody, but maybe you think, oh, I don't want to be with my family on a Sunday. I want to go out with my mates. And that, as you say, can easily go into your 20s. You want to hang around with your mates. And as you get older, for a lot of people, they appreciate that family time a lot more.
Yeah, I think so. And it's, you know, it's not just about going back to the roast and those old fashioned things I've talked about. It really is about making your own. And I think it was lockdown in which this idea came to me. And in lockdown, we suddenly appreciated nature and countryside a lot more. And that to me is a big key to refinding Sunday is being outside, I think.
Yeah, definitely. Nice Sunday walk. That's the thing as well, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And those two words go together really well, don't they?
Yeah. Sunday walk followed by Sunday roast. Perfect. Well, if people want to get a copy of the book, Sunday Best Travels Through the Day of Rest, it's available on our website, tre.radio, and it's by Daniel Gray, who we've been chatting with. Daniel, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
South Carolina's got everything, natural beauty, trendy cities, but you might miss your next big adventure in a smaller town. We've got you covered on the Palmetto Porch. Discover South Carolina's official podcast. I'm Devin Whitmire. Come with me as I venture off the beaten path and learn about these towns from the locals who know them best. Check out the Palmetto Porch wherever you get your podcasts. And for more information, head on over to scpalmettoporch.com.
With fall in full swing, more moments call for more comfort. Mack Weldon's got you covered with comfortable, easy-to-layer clothes designed for cooler days and timeless style. Their new Ace line, inspired by their best-selling sweatpants, combines everyday comfort with long-lasting and confident looks you can count on. For over a decade, Mack Weldon has designed timeless, innovative menswear to help you move through the day with confidence. Not flashy, just classic, always in style, and made from the world's most comfortable performance materials. Fall into comfort with Mack Weldon's Ace Collection. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 20% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MackWeldon.com, promo code MACK25.
Do you know your net worth? Or can you even list all your financial accounts? Believe it or not, most people can't. The problem is simple. When you don't track your finances, you leave hard-earned money on the table by overspending and undersaving. Monarch is the solution, an all-in-one personal finance tool that brings your entire financial life together in one clean interface on your laptop or phone. In just minutes, you can link all your accounts to see a clear, complete picture of your financial health. With data visualizations and AI-driven insights, Monarch helps you spot patterns, cut wasteful spending, and make better financial decisions without ever touching a spreadsheet. Monarch more than pays for itself. In fact, users save over $200 a month on average. That's why the Wall Street Journal named Monarch the best budgeting app of 2025. Get 50% off your first year when you use code GOALS at monarch.com. That's monarch.com, promo code GOALS. Monarch, the modern way to manage money.